Scriptural song, if you didn't know that. I was thinking while she was singing, I was listening to the words there, and my mind went to Psalm 84:6 and 5 and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. That's a scriptural song. When you pass through the valley, leave a well behind you for the person that comes after you. Amen. That was good. Thank you, Glenda, for that tonight, scriptural song. All right, if you are the parent of a teenager, you can be dismissed to meet with Brother Jason upstairs in the old Spanish auditorium up where the tile room is in this building, right up the steps. And so I encourage you, if you would, to go up there. And while you're up there, I'm going to talk to your children tonight, okay? And not the teenagers and the kids, but I'll talk to the other parents, to everybody that's in here as well. But I will be talking a lot to the young people tonight. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and everybody that has a teenager is invited to be a part of that upstairs. You don't have to have kids just in the academy. Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read here in verse number 28. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 28. This is what our Bible says tonight. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. And by the way, in verse number 28, even as they did not like to retain God, the they that they're talking about is found in verse number 26 and 27. And basically, it's the sins of the Sodomites, the women who changed the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, a woman with a woman, And then the same thing in verse 27, men with men, working that which is unseemly. And it is unseemly. It's wicked. It's vile. It's filthy. The animal kingdom doesn't live like that. Animal kingdom knows better than that. And it's wicked. It's vile. And that's who he's talking about, okay? And it's certainly nothing to parade through the city with and have floats and all the recognition. It's pathetic. Now, okay, verse 28, even as they, that's who he's talking about. 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we're going to pray, and then we'll get into something I hope will help to the, especially the young, but every parent here too. Help us, Heavenly Father, please. I pray that you'll bless the session upstairs. Bless Brother Jason as he shares his heart and some Bible truth with the folks. Then, God, help me in this room. Help us to get something from the lesson tonight. May it be a life help to some young person especially. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Now, what we read here in Romans chapter 1 toward the end of the chapter, this describes the characteristics of people who have chosen to live in defiance of God. They have been exposed to the truth about God, and they have chosen to disregard it. And they have exalted their own imaginations above the revealed truth that they could have received. And as a result, where there could have been light, there was darkness. Now, if you listen carefully to what I just said there, I used the word could four times. Four times. People have chosen to live a life and live life in defiance of God. They've chosen to disregard it, and they disregard the truth they could have received. As a result, where there could have been light, there was darkness. I'll tell you something. Nobody is born in this kind of condition. Okay? This is the result of choices. And everybody has some light of truth, and these folks have ignored it and rejected it and refused it. And because they have, their dark heart became darker. That's what the Word of God says. Now, there is no darkness as dark as the darkness that is the result of light rejected. When you've got light rejected, friend, you've got horrible darkness. When the light of God's truth is rejected, the ensuing darkness is darker than dark. And if you read down, if you paid attention as we read down through there, that's pretty dark. Okay? Now, I'm not going to deal with how this happens specifically tonight in all this chapter. I only want to point out to all the children and young people in the room tonight just how God sees a particular sin. Now, notice the names of the sins in which these people are trapped that God gives them. He says in verse 29, again, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And then he says, disobedient to parents. So stuck in the middle of this list, or in the list here of these awful, wicked, vile sins that these people are filled with, is the sin of being disobedient to your parents. Now, this is not the only place where God lists disobedient to parents along with other vile and wicked sins. Hold your finger here because we're going to come back there in a moment. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here is another list of wicked and vile sins in the New Testament. And once again, disobedience to parents is included in the list. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is Paul's last letter to his preacher boy Timothy. And he says in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times, violent times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Do you see, once again, a long list of what you and I would consider to be very wicked and vile sins, and what's mentioned in that list? Disobedient to parents. So I want to talk to you young people tonight especially, and then all parents need to listen in, because not only is this for the good of our young people, hopefully, but it ought to really, those of us with children still at home of any age that are children, it ought to really motivate us to work on this thing of seeing to it that our children know to obey their parents. It's pretty important. Now, there's a couple, three things I want to say tonight. Number one, disobedience to parents is a work of darkness. Disobedience to parents is a work of darkness. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. I hope you kept your finger there, or some your little ribbon or something. In Romans chapter 1, disobedience to parents is a work of darkness. Now look at verse number 21 of this chapter, because this is where it all begins, actually. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then from that point on, you go through the end of the chapter there. Disobedience to parents is a work of darkness. Okay, now many times, young people will try to convince others that they are right with God while living in disobedience to their parents. That's what they try to tell you. You know, they'll come in and you'll confront them with something, the way they've been disobedient with mom, disobedient with dad, and they'll be defiant about that, and they will insist that my relationship with God is just fine. But I want to tell you something, friend. Being right with God and wrong with your parents is an impossibility. Now, being right with God puts you in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Ephesians 5, 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And 1 John 1, 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship, listen to this, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. God's pretty adamant about that, isn't He? And do not the truth. Now, you put all this together. Romans 1:21 says that their foolish heart was darkened and it went downhill from there. And then they became filled with all of these wicked and vile sins, one of which is disobedience to parents. You cannot say that you are in fellowship with God and walk in darkness, which would be walking in disobedience to your parents. God said, if you try to make that claim, you are lying. You can't be right with God and disobedient to your parents. It is impossible to live in disobedience to your parents and live in fellowship with God. God is light. And those who are in fellowship with Him walk or live in the light. And if you are living in disobedience to your parents, you know, do not make the matter worse by lying about your relationship with God. I'll tell you, I would have more respect for a young person who would sit across the table, either from myself or Brother Bragg or Brother Minkowski, if we have to deal with somebody, I'd have more respect for a young person who would say to me, you know what, I am in disobedience to my parents, Pastor, and you know what, I know that also breaks my fellowship with God. I'd have more respect for a young person to be honest about that than to try to tell me that I'm right with God and I'm wrong with my mom and dad. Because that's an impossibility. Now, wait, I'm not talking about those rare situations where you got a parent that's evil and wicked and asking the kids to do vile and wicked things. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about what we have right here in our church, where 99% of the kids, in fact, 100% of the kids in this room tonight that I'm looking at, have a mom and a dad at home, or one or the other, and they're trying to do right and trying to live for God and trying to bring you up right. And they're not perfect, and there has never been a perfect parent, and you won't be a perfect parent when you become one. I'm talking about the situation of the children in our church right here. It's an impossibility for you, kiddos, to be right with God and living in disobedience to your dad and mom. Because that's a fruit of darkness. And if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, the Bible says we lie. Now, let this truth motivate you to obey your parents. Let this help you. Because you want to walk in the light and be in fellowship with God, that should encourage you to obey your parents. Look, the last thing you want, now you may not understand this, but believe me, the last thing you want is to live out of fellowship with your God. You don't want to do that. Because I want to tell you something, friend. You have no idea when in split second you're going to need God's help and blessing and mercy and grace. And I'd hate to be living in the far country in the hog pen and have a sudden need and have to get things squared away and get myself all right and cleaned up before I could get God to act on my behalf. You know, you don't know when you're going to have God. So let this motivate you. The last thing you want is to live out of fellowship with God. If being disobedient to parents puts you out of fellowship with God, then you want to do everything you can to live in obedience to your parents, because then you can stay in good fellowship with God. So make it an important matter to you. And by the way, this is a good motivating factor because, hey, let me tell you something, guys. You will not, and I'm talking about the girls too, you will not always understand the ways of your parents. You're not always going to understand the rules. There's going to have rules you don't understand. You don't get it. You don't figure, Dad, why? Mom, why? And maybe they don't have an answer that satisfies you. There are going to be times when you are tempted to disobey their rules and even their wishes. There will be times when you just do not agree with them and you'll desire to do something different than what they told you to do because you don't agree with them. But watch me. If you can remember that disobeying your dad or mom also affects your relationship with God, it'll help you to obey even when you don't understand, when you don't agree, when you're tempted not to. Because the last thing you want to do is get out of fellowship with your God. So obey your parents. Obey your parents. And you say, well, Pastor, when is a child relieved of their responsibility of obeying their parents? Well, are you living at home? If you're being fed and clothed and housed and everything, you probably should get along with dad and mom. Now, I understand having adult children at home makes it a little bit different than having elementary school kids and teenage kids. And I've sat down with some of you and we've talked about that because I had that in my house. I had adult kids living at home for a while. And you got to work with that. But I'm talking about you kids that are not considered adult children right now. You teenagers and some of you college students even who are still living at home. Man, do everything you can to get along with your parents. And as a result of that, you'll be in good fellowship with God. You know what I used to like to do when I was a boy? And if I had the time, I'd probably still do it because I enjoyed it. Did you ever take a set of dominoes and instead of playing dominoes with them, set up some kind of a big old long line, a snake all around the table, all around there, you know, and I mean this and this. And then, you know, I mean, you took time and you put those, I mean, you didn't stand them on the horizontal side. You stood them on the vertical side. You know what I'm saying? All right, and you lined them all up. And it took you, you know, if you had one of those 15 set of 15s, you know, 15s there, that's a lot of dominoes. And you just go around and around and you take all that time. And then if you are the younger brother, your older brother comes when you're just about done and knocks the table and puts them, you know. But then, you know, you put them all up, all around there, and then go back to that very first domino and push it over. You ever do that? We call it the what? The domino effect, right? Somebody say gravity? Did I just hear something? We call it the domino effect. You push that first domino, and it's one after the other. If you set it up right, you knock them all down just by touching one. That's right, isn't it? Now, guys, when you disobey your parents, that is a work of darkness young boys and girls, elementary school boys and girls, teenage boys and girls, college age. It's like pushing that first domino over. You don't want to disobey your parents. It's going to have a domino effect, and it immediately is going to affect your relationship with God. So understand tonight that disobedience to parents is a work of darkness. Be careful about that. Get it in your heart to be obedient to your parents. That brings me to the second thing I want to say tonight, that is this. You want nothing to do with the power of darkness. You want nothing to do with the power of darkness. I'll say it again. You want nothing to do with the power of darkness. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, okay? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. You want nothing to do with the power of darkness. Now, disobedience to parents is a work of darkness. You want nothing to do with the power of darkness. Look down at verse number 12. Look at what Paul said to the Colossian people about salvation. He said, giving thanks in verse 12 unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's talking about being saved. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. But I want you to see that first phrase of chapter 13, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I want you to notice that darkness has power. I have been places where I felt the power of darkness. When we got off the plane inside the Arctic Circle in Kotzebue, Alaska, Brother Woodward and I to visit Bob Mason, his family up there, you could feel the power of darkness inside the Arctic Circle. You could feel it. You go to some other of these third and fourth world countries where there's a bunch of spiritism and occultism, even in modern countries where there's occultism, and you'll feel the power of darkness. There is power in... Now, wait a minute. This darkness is just not the darkness of nighttime. We're not talking about nighttime. Rather, it is darkness associated with the devil. It's darkness associated with sin. And believe me, that darkness has power. Now watch it. Disobedience to your parents may seem like just a simple little thing, but young people, in reality, it can open the door for all kinds of difficulties associated with the power of darkness. I was down in Knoxville, North Carolina, which is about an hour and 15 minutes from Charlotte. And I was with Brother Coral for a Revival Fires conference with Brother and Pastor Cox's church there in Knoxville. And Brother Cox is going to preach here next April. I'm really excited about our church and other people that will be here getting to hear Brother Darrell Cox, because you're going to love him. He is a great, great fella. Just a great man. Great fella. Wonderful church. And we were on Tuesday night, on Monday night, he said, fellas, he said, there's a pastor that's coming over to the service tomorrow night. Would have been Tuesday night. And I met this man, the one he was talking about. He said, I want to tell you all a story. We were eating a sandwich after church Monday night. He said, I want to tell you all a story. He said, 2 weeks ago, he called me on the phone. And he said, Brother Cox, he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, are you where you can just pray right now? And Brother Cox said, yes, sir, I'm at home tonight. I can. And he said, well, listen, he said, I'm getting out of the car and I'm going up here to the house to deal with a 17-year-old girl. The parents have called me and she's got demon troubles. And he said, would you just pray that the blood of Christ would cover us? He said, I've got two other men with me and I brought them along for the specific purpose of just praying. One's going to pray and one's going to read the Bible, and then I'm going to deal with this 17-year-old girl. He said, would you just pray? He had him on the speakerphone, and he said, I got you on the speakerphone, and if you'll just pray, and the other man's going to pray, the other man's going to read the Bible, and we'll just plead the blood of Christ and try to help this girl. And Brother Cox, he said, fellas, he said, that man was walking into the yard while he was talking to me, and he said the girl was outside with two of her friends. And he said, you wouldn't believe the most, as those men approached the house, there was the most blood-curdling wild scream you ever heard in your life. Come out of that 17-year-old girl. He said, wasn't the scream of a girl, you know, at a roller coaster ride. It wasn't the scream of a girl that was frightened, you know, by something. It was a blood-curdling, demonic scream. And the preacher, I met this man last night. The preacher said, Brother Cox, you know what? We're going to have to go into the house here because people are out in the yards and they're going to think that we're doing something we shouldn't do. So he said, let's get in the house. And so they all went in the house, and that girl got on the floor. One of those men started reading the Bible. One of those men started praying out loud. Brother Cox said he just started praying. And he said later on, said that 17-year-old girl got on her knees on the floor and started bashing her head on the floor. Started bashing her head on the floor. Wham, wham, wham. Said her eyes rolled up in her head where all you could see were white. And she's bashing her head. And that preacher, Brother Cromer, he got down on his knees beside that girl, and he commanded that demon in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And a voice spoke. It was a man's voice spoke. And by the way, all angelic spirits, evil or good, are masculine. A man's voice spoke out of there. And he said he got down there and he put his hands on her. She's bashing her head. And all he could see was the whites of her eyes. And she's bashing her head on the floor. And he said, Brother Cox, would you pray? And he's tried. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her. And about four or five times of saying that, she started just slowly starting to calm down a little bit. And sat up breathing heavy. And Brother Cox said to the man, said, is the devil gone? And the man said, I'm not sure. He spoke to the girl and he said, are you free? Are you out of her? And the voice spoke back and said, not yet. And they command. I just heard this just less than 48 hours ago. And so finally, they got that girl all calmed down, and they feel like that devil spirit was confronted and cast out by the power. By the way, folks, some of the missionaries that we support out here on this wall have had to deal with that very thing in the countries where they go. He asked that girl, have you been involved in heavy metal music? She's got Christian parents. And being possessed by devil means she's what? What? Unsaved. He said, have you been listening to heavy metal music? Yes. And asked two or three more questions. Obviously living in disobedience to her parents in several areas. There was two other teenagers that were there. One was like 18 and one was 19. And one of those boys, the whole time he was speaking to this girl, he was over there sitting on the couch, convulsions and twitching. And when he got done, his eyes was all rolled back in his head and the whites of his eyes was showing. Then going to concerts and fooling around and everything. There are some sins that are more associated with demon influence than others. I've said it before. Rock music, pornography, drugs, all of those things open the door to demonic activity in your heart, your life. Now, I'm not saying if you're saved, you'll be possessed. But I'm saying, buddy, you'll have trouble. Now, listen to me. You see, we think this thing of the spirit world is some little guy in a red suit with horns and a tail and a pitchfork, and we have vacation Bible school, we run the devil out of the building, and everybody cheers. I don't tell you, he doesn't run around in a pitchfork and a red suit. He's a very real devil, demon, wicked, vile, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Jesus spirit. There's a whole bunch of them. And I want to tell you something. I'm not saying that if you disobey your parents one time, you're going to have demonic trouble. But I am saying that a consistent disobedience to parents opens the door to great difficulty. Let me ask you a question. Do you reckon if she had obeyed her parents about that heavy metal music, she'd have had that devil spirit? I don't think so. I don't have Bible for that. But it seems to me if she had obeyed her parents when it came to the music she was listening to, she wouldn't have ended up beating her head on the floor with the whites of her eyes showing and a male, wicked, old, vile, demon voice speaking out of her body. Now look, I know I'm not shooting for something tonight that's impossible. I know you're not going to live without disobeying your parents at some point. And I'm not trying to scare you into believing, oh my goodness, man. I'm not, no. I just want you to really get a grip on how serious this matter is to God. This is a serious matter. God listed it twice. Disobedience to parents. He listed it twice in the middle of some of the most vile, wicked sins you could have in two places in the New Testament. He's not playing around with this. And I want you to get that in your head. When you disobey your parents, immediately, as soon as possible, make it right with them. And don't get in the habit of slipping around when you get old enough to get your own car, and you get old enough to have your own radio, you get old enough to have your own CDs, and now you got MP3 players, you got all kinds of stuff. It's so easy to access stuff behind the back of authority. Isn't it? And you kids know that better than anybody. This is the day of access. I don't want you to get messed up like that, guys. I don't want that to happen to any young person in our church. Obey your parents. And especially in the areas of your music and your dress. And your body. And your mind. Because those are critical areas. Critical. And when you disobey, okay, own up to it. Live by the little philosophy. Get help. Don't get caught. Don't wait until mom and dad catch you in disobedience, man. If you disobey and God smites your heart and the Holy Spirit says, man, you know better than that. That's not right. Go to your parents and say, look, can I sit down and talk with you? And I really hope that all of us parents will be mature enough that if a child comes to us confessing disobedience, we would sure handle it. And not brush it off and just say, oh, that's right, no. And talk to them. You know, when your kids are small, their hearts are tender. But, you know, I look at these guys sitting in the front row down here. And when you get to this age, fellas, your hearts aren't as tender as Caleb Minkowski's age. Just the way it goes. I remember one time we were out west. That trip we took out to Yellowstone. And we was having devotions in one of the little Motel 6 rooms we stayed in. And I was talking to the kids about disobedience. And I made the point to them that, guys, if you don't learn to obey your parents, if you get in the habit of disobeying mom and me, then you'll just transfer that disobedience to your teachers, and you'll transfer that disobedience to somebody else, and pretty soon you could end up in jail. Well, they're listening, you know. Well, one of the ones that was younger at that time, after we all went to bed, next thing we know, all right, what happened? I stole a pencil. My wife thinks it was from you, Sharon. My wife thinks it was putting kids in the path of temptation. I don't understand it, amen? So, I stole a pencil. I was in the room and there was nobody there. There was a pencil there and I took a pencil. I said, oh, all right, okay. And then the police are going to come get me. That's what she said. That's what she asked. Are the police going to come get me? You know, now that's, you know. And by the way, when we got back from that trip, she had to go to the teacher and take a pencil, a new pencil, and go back to the teacher and tell him, I stole a pencil from you off your desk and here's... She didn't like that. But anyway, I don't mean to have, you know, Mom said, do this, and I didn't do it. Mom said, don't do this, and I did it, so now I'm going to go to jail. I'm not saying that. Or I did this, so now I'm going to have trouble with it. I'm saying a consistent attitude of being disobedient to your parents, disregarding what they say, and walking in disobedience to them is walking in darkness. And when you walk in darkness, you're walking in something that you don't understand the power of it. Now, right down here, on a Sunday morning after church at the invitation time, a woman stood here with another woman that came with her that day. And the woman in our church that brought her, her eyes were this big. And that woman looked, I was standing right here. That woman looked up at me and she said, I want to talk to you. And the woman standing beside her, her eyes were that big. And I just said, later. We were right back there in that conference room. And I won't even tell you what she told me in that conference room about devil spirits. You see, we think it's a little funny alien thing like E.T. Cute little thing, you know. Alien. There's nothing cute about a devil spirit, friend. I'm going to tell you something. You get yourself exposed to stuff like that, and you'll find out there's a power there. You don't have any idea how strong that is. And especially when it comes to your music. Mom and Dad have laid it out for you. You know what kind of music they want you to listen to. Obey them. Obey them. Because you want nothing to do with the power of darkness. I want to tell you something. I'm not trying to scare you, but you know what the honest truth of the matter is? It won't hurt you to live life a little bit afraid. Just a tad bit. You know, when I get around electricity, I'm a little bit afraid. Because I'm not real handy with it. I don't know a whole lot. I know one thing. I make a mistake, it's got the power to zap me. You know, nothing to do with the power of darkness. Now, let me say this, number three. See, I've been teaching on Wednesday nights when we have these things on how to rear children, principles for child rearing. So I thought I'd just turn this thing around tonight and talk to the kids for a little bit and put a lot of this on you. Obey your parents. Your parents told you not to text while you're driving? Don't text while you're driving. I don't want you to use your cell phone while you're driving on the interstate. Don't use your cell phone. Just obey your parents. Number three, avoid those who walk in disobedience to their parents. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We was there a moment ago. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is it. I'm done. I've got to wrap it up here. Look at what Paul told them, okay, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5. He goes through this list, these perilous times, and here these men are. These characteristics, and in verse 2, disobedient to parents. And then he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You see, this type of sin breaks fellowship with God. It puts you into a vulnerable position with the power of darkness. And it is the type of sin in others that you don't want to expose yourself to. If you've got a friend who's living in the spirit of disobedience to his or her parents, you're being exposed to something that's not good for you. Does that make sense to y'all? Because we're not talking here just about a matter of disobedience. We're talking about a spirit. Any encouragement, any exposure from someone who is walking in the darkness of disobedience to their parents is very dangerous for another young person. And so, you know, and I tell you what amazes me sometimes. You know, you have a teenager who rebels and disobeys their parents, and then they suffer the consequences of the disobedience. And there's some big problem, and it becomes an issue. And then I watch sometimes other teens rally to them. That's one thing to rally to somebody who's wanting to get right and turn things around. It's something altogether different if they want support for their disobedience. Amen, Brother Angel. That's pretty good. And I've seen that happen. There's no repentance, there's no remorse, there's no regret, there's no heart for God to correct the problem. What there is a desire for somebody to come support me in my disobedience. Now, if somebody's had a heart for God, and I mean comes with a repentant attitude and a repentant spirit, man, teenagers that love God and love each other ought to be willing to go to that young person and, man, be there to rally for them. You get a spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. But when a person only wants support for their disobedience, you know, I call it the ambulance chaser mentality. You're just there to kind of look. Here's a person who has a crash, and they have no desire to get right with God. And the thing that really started the whole thing was having a disobedient spirit to their parents. And here they have they crash and have a bad. I don't mean a physical accident. I mean they crash in life. And here come the ambulance chasers to support them in their disobedience. I'm going to tell you something. All you're doing is really exposing a problem in your own heart. And you're putting yourself in grave danger. You're exposing yourself to a spirit that is not good. God said, turn away. From such, turn away. Now, folks, this may sound harsh. But you know what? Sometimes the principles of the Bible are harsh. And God is a God of great love, but He's also a God of great justice and holiness. And His love doesn't trump His holiness. His love doesn't trump His justice. But if you've got a teenager that is living in rebellion to parents and living with a disobedient, rebellious spirit, you know, you say, well, the teenagers just turned away and have kind of turned a cold shoulder. Well, from such turn away. I said a long time ago, maybe I haven't said it recently, maybe say it more often. If rebellion ever is the cause of a split in the youth group, let her split. We get the idea that, oh, we're a youth group and we all got to be together and we all got to be unified and we all got to be okay. If everybody's going the right direction and if somebody stumbles, hey, let's pick them up and let's go. And especially if they say, man, I don't want to do that again. I was stupid. That was dumb. Hey, I know. You know what? I've done the same thing. Come on, let's get back on our feet. We love you. We want you to be a part of this thing. But if somebody lives in a continual, consistent, disobedient, rebellious spirit, let her split. I'm going with the youth group. Let her split. What are you going to do with your parent? Are you going to tell your parent, you're going to tell your child to buddy up to a rebellious, disobedient kid? I'm not going to tell mine to do that. So who do you think you are? I'm nobody. But I got a book that says, from such turn away. God said, avoid those who are disobedient to parents. When you decide, now when you're sitting down, and you ought to do this, young person, if you haven't, you ought to do this. You ought to sit down with a piece of paper sometime and a pen or pencil, and you ought to say to yourself, you know what, this, and don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. But you ought to think about, you know, what kind of person do I want to be close friends with? And by the way, I'll say it again, still, your best friends ought to be the mom and dad that sit around the table with you and eat. They ought to be your best friends. But when you're choosing characteristics to look for in people that, you know, your age that you're going to be buddies with or friends with, and you ought to make a list. You know, well, first of all, they need to be saved, and then they need to do this, and need to be. And don't be a hypocrite. Don't put something on the list that you're not doing. One of the things that is on that list, should be on that list, and should be at the top of that list, real close, is their good relationship with their dad and mom. Because you know what a friend who has a good relationship with their dad and mom will do for you? Encourage you to do the same. They'll be a blessing to you. You may watch them in interaction with their mom and dad and go home and say, you know what? I'm going to have the same relationship with my dad, my mom. So be careful. Having a good relationship with Dad, mom should be paramount. You've heard me say this. You've heard us, I'm sure, say it in school orientation, other places. There is a difference in being friendly and being a friend. You'd be friendly to everybody. How you doing? Good to see you. Hello. Hey, good to see you. Hey, man, good to see you. God bless you. Hey, how you doing? That's being friendly. But when you decide who you're going to buddy up with and be a close friend to, that's a different matter. Be friends with those who have a good relationship with their dad and their mom, who live in a spirit of obedience, walking in the light. Wait a minute. Not only with their parents, but with their God, and walking in the Spirit, walking in the light, keeps them from the power of darkness. You become a close friend with that person. And by the way, that's not just for teenagers. That's for adults too. There's a difference. Adults, me and you, in being friendly and having a friend who's walking in disobedience to God. It's a very serious thing. This matter of obeying your parents. Go home tonight, kiddos, young men, young ladies. And you know what? Look, I'm weary of this attitude on Wednesday night. You know, we have teaching on Wednesday night, so I don't need to go to the altar and ever take care of anything. Let me tell you, teaching, preaching, devotion, I don't care. If God speaks to my heart, I'm going to take a minute and talk to God. Make up your mind tonight that you're going to obey your dad and obey your mom. Just make up your mind. I'm going to be an obedient child. If I'm 18 or 8, if I'm 19 and still living at home, or 9 in elementary school, I'm going to be an obedient child. By the grace of God, God being my help, I'm going to obey my parents. Now, I'm not going to hit 100% of the time. And when I don't, and I know I've done wrong, first thing I'm going to do is get with my dad or mom and say, you know what? I messed up. Here's what happened. I stole a pencil. Whatever it is. Amen? That's right. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll bless the young people of our church. A simple Bible lesson on something that's so powerful, so elementary, yet so powerful. I pray that You'd reach out tonight, grab a heart or two, somebody who's living on the edge of the power of darkness, walking in the spirit of disobedience. I pray, God, You'll help them. That's serious stuff. Oh, God, help us. Help us, please, to stay in the light. Walk in the light where You are. Right with our dad, right with our mom. Obey them in every area that they want us to. Thank You for it. Lord, bless our young people. I love them. I thank You for them. I don't want them to have a train wreck in their life. Please, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to take a moment for an invitation. And if you want to come. Have enough courage to come. Kneel and pray tonight, anybody, especially you young people. Come if you need to. Pray with us.